Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Friday, February 20th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and we welcome back our buddy John Fisher today. John is a retired professor from the Culinary Institute of America and a favorite on this program, at least with some of us. Today's concept is a simple one. What's your favorite cocktail? Give us a call. John Fisher, mixologist to the stars, will offer some tips on making that cocktail better. Try them. Maybe it's a sidecar. Maybe it's an extra dry Rob Roy. Whatever's your drink of choice, he'll tweak it for you, at least hopefully. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. VoxPop@WAMC.org is the email address. And John Fisher and the Cocktails Help Desk after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here we go. It's time for the Cocktails Help Desk for 2026. We welcome back John Fisher. John is a retired professor of hospitality and service management at the Culinary Institute. Previously, he was general manager at the Morel Wine Bar and Cafe in New York. 1 year on the show, he made Singapore slings, and I think he's going to do it again today. So here's what we want today. What's your favorite cocktail? Maybe you have a question about making that perfect mixed drink. Maybe you could use a tweak or two to your favorite mixed beverage. Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. John Fisher, great to have you back here. In a relative way. And, you know, listen, you drove all the way up here from downstate.
Yeah.
So bonus points to you, and thank you for doing that. How was the driving?
Wasn't great, wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
You know, idiots on the road who acted as
I don't leave. I don't head out for another hour and a half.
I said multiple.
Ah, well,
And, you know, were driving like there was no snow or ice on the road.
Yeah.
So, but I avoided all altercations and got here.
Well, I'm glad you made it, and we're going to have some fun today on this Cocktails Help Desk. What's your you mix everything. You've worked in the industry. You've been a professor for years. Now you're retired. What's your favorite cocktail all time? Regardless of season, I know you're a seasonal person.
It's worse than Best Child, because you can maybe it's the same. You can they take turns.
But I mean you'll be the one to say okay, no martinis after Labor Day, yada yada yada.
Well, no, martinis are not part of the whiskey season.
Oh, really?
Banishment. No, martinis are always allowed. Manhattans are always allowed. Bourbon on the rocks is always allowed. So the whiskey season, gin season thing, it's not, martinis, they get my blessing year round.
Yeah.
Although, a great gin martini is a great form of anesthesia.
Well, I've always found that to be the case.
But martinis, I don't drink them very often because it's not what you would call a pleasant hug of a cocktail. It's more of a slap in the face.
Yeah, I find them. I think bracing is a good
bracing.
Adjective.
It has an edge, and so I usually don't need that.
Right.
I guess, which is a good thing. But favorite cocktail, it's impossible for me to give you a favorite cocktail. Like favorite wine. How many wines have I tasted? How many beers? What's my favorite beer?
All right, I'll give you. Okay, as we get started here, and the number is 800-348-2551. I'll give you a couple different forms of spirits, and you tell me what's your favorite drink that goes with that. Okay.
I can do that.
Rum.
Rum would be probably a Mai Tai, or for a simple one, just rum and tonic is a
rum and tonic?
Mount Gay and tonic with a piece of lime. It's what the sailing people, not motorboats, but sailboats.
They call them sailors.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. We haven't even started the show yet.
But, like up on Block Island, where they have the people with their sailboats.
Yeah.
Rum and tonic, a big deal.
No way. I was looking up cocktails before the show, And there was this one. Now, you know, we always talk about that first cocktail. What was the first cocktail?
First cocktail was classical. Probably punch. Classical punches that use alcohol. There's a great book called Punch by Dave Wondrich that explains the history of punch. I used to do a punch class for my spirits and mixology class at culinary, and punch is pretty fascinating. It was largely it became more popular during the Raj, when there were Brits going to India, and they were. It was a combination. There were spices around. There were limes and lemons, which really there wasn't citrus in England much. There was arak, which is a South Pacific-based, well, it's made in a lot of places, but it's a kind of funky spirit that needs ingredients to make it more drinkable. And the classic recipe for a punch is one part sour, two parts sweet, three parts strong, and four parts weak.
Really?
And it works. You know, it's easy to remember. And
Shakespeare come up with that?
I don't think Shakespeare was Jamaican.
I thought you said it was in Europe.
Jamaican rum punch. Well, yeah. Well, who brought punch to Jamaica? You know, first the Spaniards and then the British. So punch was popular. There were, you know, the fact that it was made with ingredients that were available and it was drinkable, punch had the balance of a great cocktail, which is a little sour, a little sweet, and tastes a little bit like booze.
Well, give me a time frame on that.
1700s?
Okay.
1600s?
Going back, and what I looked at online today, there is something, I think, from the 1850s or whatever that they called really the first cocktail. It's kind of an old-fashioned, basically. But Sir Francis Drake, did you know about this? They had a drink when they were in the, wherever they were, West Indies?
It has to have been a relative of punch.
It was rum or something else, and maybe it's what you
it
said.
It might have been arak.
Right.
A-R-A-K.
And it was juice of a lime, or maybe two, and
and limes and lemons were called the same thing then. Lemon, L-I-M-O-N.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and it was something else, but it's very similar. Oh, muddled six
mint.
To eight mint leaves. And it was very predecessor of the mojito, I guess.
It sounds yummy. And since it was Sir Francis Drake, it probably was what happened was punch was a thing where people would get together and they would buy a bowl of punch for a group of friends. And they would sit around all night in the pub, the bar, the inn.
Yeah.
And they would slowly drink it. And the convenient thing is that as ice melts, the drink gets less strong.
Right.
So they would sit and they would spend all night doing that. Well, the Industrial Revolution came along and people didn't have all evening or all day anymore. They had now schedules and there were, you know, 8-hour shifts and there were people. It was, I guess, the first time that social media has, you know, pulled people apart. Well, it pulled people, the Industrial Revolution did also. And people now didn't have time to sit all evening and drink cocktails with their friends. So cocktails turned into single servings. It would be something you could have a quick pop before you went to work. Literally, there were names for drinks from the first thing in the morning, which was an eye-opener,
right,
to a nightcap at the end of the night. And there were names for cocktails at different parts of the day.
So the 11 a.m. would be the...
Right, get warmed up for lunch.
And, all right.
And so, yeah, so cocktails became popular post-punch, and then pre-prohibition, you know, the 1870s to 1890s, probably the greatest era for cocktails before now. Then prohibition came along, then all the cocktails after prohibition until about 2000 were pretty bad.
The year 2000?
Yes. Well, I remember bartending in 1984 at the Chart House in Dobbs Ferry, and we made, you know, Manhattans, and we made Rob Roy's, and we made gin and tonic, but all the vodka drinks, a Bay Breeze, a Sea Breeze, a Screwdriver, a Cape Codder, which is just vodka, cranberry juice, and a piece of lime.
Right.
You know, the vodka drinks with juice, so many people were drinking that, and so few people were drinking classic, complex cocktails. And it was Dale DeGroff at the Rainbow Room who brought great cocktail making and hospitality and warmth back into the world of he almost recreated professional bartending, which had been missing since Prohibition.
And, you know, you bring up a great point. Our guest today, by the way, John Fisher, it is Cocktails Help Desk. If you have a favorite drink you want to tweak, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. He's getting some ice. Thanks, John. VoxPop at WAMC.org is the email address. Yeah, you bring up a great point about bartenders, because a good one is, it's a great thing. A good bartender who knows how to converse, who knows how to back away when it's the right time, yeah. Who knows how to mix a drink. Yeah, it's a, I don't know if it's a lost art, but it's rare.
Back.
It's rare.
No, it's coming back. And I tell you that, by the way, also a professional server in the dining room, same thing. That don't hover, they don't. They know not to tell you, well, this is my favorite dish. And they just they work with what the guest wants, and they bring you what you need before you know you need it. It's the same thing with a great bartender. I had a bartender I hired once, and I hired her because when she was doing her practical, someone sat down when I was, doing the working interview, someone sat down at the bar. First thing she did was she put up a glass of water for them. Without even asking, she just put up a glass of water.
Yeah.
And then said, what can I get for you? And that was, they were probably thirsty. They were going to a bar. So they were probably thirsty. And, if you've just coming off the street in July in Manhattan.
Right. You don't want to wet your whistle with 8 martinis.
No.
That's a good point.
No.
We're going to get to the calls in a moment. 800-348-2551. I thought about what I want to do post-retirement. And I thought brief amount of time. Gosh, I'd love to be a bartender. And most people I've talked to think that that's a terrible idea. Why? Am I that much of a jerk?
Well, start asking some strangers. Hey, what do you think? Think I should be a bartender?
Well, I don't know. I do that on the show every day. Hey, what do you think? 800, what do you think? Give me a call. 800-348-2551. Mr. Fisher's about to show us some cocktails. What's your favorite? Give us a call. Nice work if you can get it. That's appropriate for today's show. We welcome John Fisher. We talk about mixed drinks and bartending and whatnot. 800-348-2551 is the number, and the email is voxpop@wamc.org. John, before we get to the email bag and the phones, you have an important public service announcement.
Well, not that important public service announcement.
I don't know.
It might
That's
be for you
said.
If you want to be a bartender.
I don't know.
So there is hope for professional bartending. There has been for the last 20 years. And there's a group called The Bar, appropriately enough, Beverage Alcohol Resource. And they do education. And once a year, they do a full week seminar. And it's being held at it's been held at the Culinary for the last four years or so. Oh, I dragged them up there to do it. Their place in the city shut down post-COVID. And they needed a new location. So it's 5 solid days of spirits. I went to about 3 or 4 of the days this past year because I'm retired.
Oh, you lucky dog.
And you'll be welcome to walk in with me and sit at some of the seminars if you ever retire.
Is there a test at the end? A bar exam, if you will?
Oh.
Thank you very much.
I don't think they've even called it that.
Okay. That's,
but it's these are bartenders taught by the greatest spirits and cocktail experts in the world.
Beautiful.
And they're taught as much about service and hospitality, well, maybe not as much, but close, as they are taught about spirits.
Oh, okay. John Fisher is our guest today. What are you mixing here before I go to the email bag?
Well, before your producer changed the name of this show we were going to do, I was going to do a show all about bitters.
Oh, really?
Because bitters, yeah,
I think that's,
I was.
You know what? My producer probably thought that bitters strikes a little too close to home for me. So, it's possible that it never even got to me.
So I brought a bunch of different cocktail bitters. There are different kinds of bitters. There are cocktail bitters. There are drinking bitters. And cocktail bitters are fascinating because I've always called them the salt and pepper of cocktail making.
Yeah.
Because when I was teaching my students cocktails, they would bring a cocktail up to me and I'd say, it's good, but it's missing something. Did you put bitters in there? They said, no. And I said, well, what did I tell you about bitters? It's the salt and pepper. It's the seasoning. It's what it adds aromatics to a cocktail. So bitters are fascinating because they're all different. They were originally used as tonics and medicines, And we still have some pretty popular ones today. So
yeah, well, we know the famous one, and there was that bitter shortage few years ago, remember? Or maybe it was 10 or 15 years ago. All right. Yes, that sound effect. Suddenly it's the Prairie Home Companion. Now we're in. That's great. So here's an email. Speaking of spicing up drinks, this one is from Elizabeth. Local bartender said that he adds MSG to his mixed drinks. Is MSG added to drinks?
Well, by him, obviously.
Well.
I could see. Well, first of all, it's some kind of a nouvelle bartender who's doing that. There are a lot of bartenders adding saline solution, to just make salt and water, and they have it in a squirt bottle, and they use like a quarter ounce. And I would not be surprised if they did the same kind of thing with MSG, which could definitely work. I don't know what kind of cocktails I would use it in. I would use it in a Bloody Mary, definitely.
For sure, right?
Or Bloody Bull or Danish Mary. You should try Danish Mary. It's a Bloody Mary made with aquavit instead of vodka.
Now, aquavit, I think I've had it on the show before. What is it?
An anise-flavored liqueur from the Balkans.
All right, fair enough. You want to try something here?
Well, yeah. So this is part of what I was planning.
Yes.
Was to do bitters. And one thing I would do with my students would be to do what I'm doing here, which is to give you a classic Manhattan made with Old Overholt rye whiskey and Martini and Rossi sweet vermouth.
Right.
And there are no bitters in this. Now, one of the things that I'll say with when I'm talking to people about professional bartenders is if you're going to hire a bartender, ask them to make a Manhattan. It's like in the kitchen, you say, make an omelet or make eggs. In the bar, I say, make a Manhattan. Because if the first thing they don't pick up is the Angostura bitters, they're lying about being a veteran bartender.
Well, I make Manhattans once a year, Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas. For my wife, or her dad used to make them, and I do the best I can. And I always put that stuff in. But
well, you're a good
only
person.
A couple dashes, though. Not
right,
a lot.
Right, no. Well, this is with no bitters at all.
All right. Delightful.
And next, I'm going to make one with Angostura,
okay.
But not immediately.
All right, let's take a call. Let's do one more email and take a call while you're mixing. Okay, I like that. It's not bold, but it's tasty.
Just hold on. Right, it's going to get better.
You know what? Carl writes in, how about improving a last word? What's a last word?
Last word is a cocktail made with green chartreuse and gin. It's a pre-prohibition. And it's gotten really hot. Well, that's one thing I got to say. It's another thing saying that bartending has gotten more professional of late is that there are bartenders now who know what a last word is and can make one when you ask. Like if you go to Death and Company in the city or you go to the Dead Rabbit downtown, bartenders will know those cocktails. A Paper Plane, another great cocktail.
Another trendy cocktail,
well,
right?
It's a little bit newer than a last word, but last word... There's no way to improve it other than using the correct recipe and high-quality ingredients.
Uh-huh. If you go to and I don't go to the New York City ever, but if I was at a bar in New York City and the bartender didn't know a drink that you mentioned, is that a deal-breaker, or do they have a book? Is it okay for a bartender to look at a book?
Oh, it's perfectly okay.
Okay.
It's also, the first thing you do is if you're a bartender, you don't know the drink, you say, well, I don't know that cocktail. Could you tell me what's in it?
Yeah.
Especially if it's some stupid new name that bartender...
I'll take a Buick Slant 6. What do you got?
make sure that it's top dead center,
Right.
But it's... Bartenders who don't know something should say, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Like in life, it's a really good idea. The number here is 800-348-2551. I don't know is something I say, twice an hour. Let's go to Sue in Albany. Sue, you're on.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Hi, Sue.
To Ray and Mr. Fisher.
Hi.
You had said a little while ago that you would like us to call and share our favorite drinks.
But sure.
I'm actually going to call you with the worst drink I ever had.
Okay.
And, just very quickly.
Was there sauerkraut in it?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No. So I was on the case in Provincetown.
Okay.
And I just wanted to do something fun. So I just looked up online, like, the worst drink ever. And something came up called the 100-year-old cigar.
Yikes. That doesn't sound good.
So as you were just saying about a bartender, I, said to the bartender, I'd like a 100-year-old cigar. And he goes, well, I don't know what that is. And so I told him, let me show you on my phone. And so I gave him the recipe and he made it. It tasted like I literally licked an ashtray.
That is
delicious.
So did you finish the drink?
Yeah, it was so true to the name. I can't even tell you what was in it. But later I did say to the bartender, you know, you should bring me in quite often because I shared that drink with a lot of people at the bar and they all bought other drinks to clean out their palate after they tasted it.
Genius. Genius. Well, that's, you know what? Do you know what was in it? Do you remember?
Just things I've never heard of before.
STP.
But it was quite the concoction. I don't know if we can even look it up online. I probably should have looked it up before I called in.
Well, next time you go, ask for a stomach pump. It's a drink I came up with. It's bourbon and Alka-Seltzer. Give it a shot. It's delicious.
All right.
Thanks, Sue. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. It's Cocktails Help Desk Triage today with John Fisher.
Well,
what's,
you know,
this?
This is Manhattan, and now it has Angostura bitters.
Okay, and this is where's the cherry?
At home, I did. It's the only thing I forgot to bring.
Would you, when you're making? Oh, that's delicious.
But only Luxardo cherries.
Love Luxardo cherries.
Luxardo cherries are the only ones that serious bartenders will use.
Okay.
So now you know why bitters.
It just adds a depth to it.
And adds higher notes aromatically. Believe it or not, yes, it adds high notes to a cocktail aromatically. Right. Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
No, I just, you know, let's go, you know what, go back to the phones before this gets very ugly. Oh, Abigail's in Kingston, and Abigail is a favorite here. Hello, Abigail.
Hi, Abigail.
Hello. It's so good to hear this discussion. When I was a courtesan in New York back in the 90s, my favorite drink was a martini, not gin, but vodka.
Oh, boy.
With a teeny, 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 teeny bit of vermouth, very little vermouth. Anyway, so that's all I have to
but,
say.
You know, that's just, it's like drinking straight vodka, Abigail. It's There's no.
I know, but it's one of the best liquors that there is. Now I only drink wine, and okay, that is cheap wine too. Anyway, oh my God!
So you got the Boone's Farm cooking. Good for you. Hey, Abigail, that's great. But let's get John's take on first the vodka martini. Is it really a martini?
No.
Wow, that's harsh. Abigail's well liked here.
I know. I love.
We disagree because the martinis that I had with my wonderful friend who was a scholar and could speak five languages fluently,
yeah,
used to order a gin martini, and I had the vodka martini. So I disagree with you, but it's okay to disagree.
Fair enough.
This is a wonderful program, and I love you all.
Have a good weekend, Abigail. Thank you. 800-348-2551. So, when, you know, we're going to talk martinis later. If you look in the old books for martinis, there's a lot of vermouth in there.
Yeah.
And sweet and dry.
Yes. The original martini was, well, what led up to the martini, they think it was a cocktail that was half gin and half orange liqueur.
Meek.
And what happened was because orange curacao has been around for a long time. What happened was that when they started making cocktails in the United States and the vermouths showed up on our shores in the 1800s from Italy first and then France, because Italy created sweet vermouth and France created dry vermouth, bartenders were experimenting. And so here was a cocktail that had been made with gin and orange curacao. Let's try something else as a sweetener. And so they used both sweet vermouth, they used dry vermouth.
Yeah.
And ended up being the dry vermouth, like a 2-to-1 martini is what a lot of bartenders will drink.
Is that known as a perfect?
No.
Perfect has sweet, right?
Perfect has sweet and dry.
Yeah, and I've tried making those. It's a little tough to get down.
Well, you use the same total amount of vermouth, but just half of sweet and half of dry.
Yeah.
But, you know, martinis, you know, my first bartending, when people would say, I want dust on the olive.
Right.
You know, they didn't want a martini. They wanted just
gin. Yeah.
And I don't think that they realized how much better the drink tastes when it has a proper amount of vermouth in it.
I agree. A fine gin stands up on its own, a really good gin, but vermouth always helps, especially if it's good vermouth. What, you know, They're cheap vermouth, and they're the expensive section of vermouth. And without going into brand names, is it worth it to spend on the more expensive vermouth?
Yes and no. I mean, the one that I have here is a standard one you'd find. It's
a Martini and Rossi, right?
Yeah, Martini and Rossi.
Yeah, yeah, that's a go-to.
It is, you know, just it's just an industry standard. There is a slightly fancier one that is about twice as expensive that has become very popular. It's different. It's different. Vermouths are kind of like bitters. They are aromatized wines in that they have had alcohol added to as a preservative, but then flavorings that were, it's almost like a wine with bitters in it. The alcohol is used to make the bitters, and then that goes into the vermouth.
Yeah.
So the brand of vermouth, Carpano, is about twice as expensive, and it's lovely, but it also has a fair amount of vanilla to it.
So it changes the entire cocktail.
Changes the cocktail.
Well, I mean, there are so many different gins out there, too. So many have all
and
extra.
They're all different.
Yeah, and that's the thing. All right, let's go back to the phones. We're joined by John Fisher today. It's a cocktail help desk, and Richard's in Poughkeepsie. Richard, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a fascinating conversation. You know, I'm an old guy, and as I've gotten older, I've been able to modify what I put in my cocktails. So speaking of vermouth, there's an Italian vermouth that I discovered in New York City, Formula Antigua.
Carpano, that's the one I just mentioned. Yeah, Carpano Antigua.
You like that one?
Antigua.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
an excellent vermouth.
But my call really is about, and you probably don't want to hear this, my favorite drink is a lemon drop martini. But depending on where you go, they make it in a lot of bizarre ways. So my friend wants one part lemon juice, fresh lemon juice, one part Cointreau, and in the old days I just used triple sec, but now I've got enough money to get Cointreau, and then finally two parts of vodka. Again, I heard what you said about vodka martinis, so we still call it a lemon drop martini. But you know, some places you get a lemon drop piece of candy in it. Some places make it with limoncello, etc. Anyway, so that's my favorite. My other question actually is, I'd like to hear what you have to say about lemon drops, but when you make your Manhattan, do you prefer rye or bourbon?
Yeah, great
and
question.
Maybe I'll shut up and go.
Richard, this comes up in my house every holiday season, so we use rye. John, what's the proper answer?
If you just say Manhattan, it should be rye. Rye whiskey was the whiskey of the Northeast. Corn whiskey was the whiskey of the South. So where Manhattan's from?
The South.
Two guesses, and the first one doesn't count.
Okay.
So being a Northeastern cocktail, the choice of brand, of whiskey was almost certainly rye. Now, a bourbon Manhattan is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the requisite spiciness that a Manhattan should have because of the rye whiskey. I'm not going to argue with someone who wants it. I've had many a bourbon Manhattan.
Yeah, so rye for you, and rye for me too. So we agree on that, and that's a first. Now, the lemon drop martini.
And what, could I ask one more question,
sure,
and then I'll hang out?
Okay.
So have you ever had cardamom bitters?
Yes.
Because they really add a whole nother level to a Manhattan.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, definitely. Cardamom, bitters. Well, then it's kind of changed. Well, yeah, it's still a Manhattan. You're just using a different kind of bitters. But cardamom bitters can be great in a lot of different cocktails. Because it's a member of the ginger family, it would be great with tropical cocktails.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have no problem with that, although you should still have some Angostura in there. And what I'm going to be giving Ray in a minute is a cocktail of a Manhattan that has both Angostura and orange bitters, which is, some people say classically how it was made.
Okay. Okay, well, we lost Richard there, but quickly about the lemon drop martini. I mean,
it's a tasty cocktail. It's not a serious cocktail. It's fun. If you want something refreshing and bright, there's nothing wrong with a lemon drop cocktail. It's not my jam.
Yeah.
But I would make it for someone happily.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break here. John Fisher's our guest. It's our cocktail show, cocktail help desk. You got a question? This guy's got an answer, perchance. We'll be back. Bobby Broom there doing Wichita Lineman on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you, joined by John Fisher today. And also, just making a Bob Hope-like walk-on is Radio's Joe Donahue, who's been doing interviews for the last hour and a half over in Studio D.
I have been.
How'd it go?
Very good.
It's going to go better now.
I mean, not as good as what you're doing here with John.
So John just mixed up a Manhattan, and we're going to go to the email bag in a moment, but John just mixed up a Manhattan that has both the standard bitters and this lovely Reagan's orange bitters, and it's a very nice mix. It's really...
It's how I make Manhattans at home for myself. I always use the both Ango and orange bitters.
Do you say Ango?
I don't say Ango, although I will say that the last time I spoke with John was in a we were in a convention center at a hotel, and we were drinking and he was telling me about his great plans of how he was going to change up his show with you.
Yeah.
Of doing things differently.
Yeah.
Well, and this is it.
Well, it seems about the same.
Well, I had a problem with his producer, though. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm going to fire the producer. So many before have been fired. James writes in, Hugo, can that drink be improved? I've never heard of that one.
It's a Hugo.
It's a spritzer. It's a spritz. The most popular cocktail in Europe right now is the Aperol Spritz. And they're it's a great drink. It's a little overused. Apparently Joe does not like them. But it's a simple. That's made with Aperol, sparkling wine.
I love those.
They use Prosecco and some Pellegrino. So it's low alcohol. It's refreshing. And it sounds like the Hugo is made with elderflower liqueur instead of Aperol. And the Saint Germain Aperol liqueur, not Aperol, Saint Germain elderflower liqueur became so popular in cocktails in New York that it was nicknamed bartender's ketchup.
I've seen that in the liquor store. Never had it, I probably never will.
Oh, man. It's good.
Did you have this?
That's the Manhattan?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I had a little sip. I'm driving the show, so it's only a taste.
Very, very cold.
But you have as much as you want.
All right, I will.
Greg, I'll keep making them.
Greg, you know what? Don't encourage him. Greg writes in, I like a margarita with orange bitters. Gives it an extra bite.
Nice idea.
Yeah? That's interesting. Yeah.
Very nice idea.
Steve writes in, I'd absolutely go to a bar that Ray chooses to be a bartender at. It would be entertaining to sit there and order exotic cocktails and watch me fumble. Well, thank you for that.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's your kind. Listeners love you.
Very loving.
they really do. This one is from Pamela in Troy. At the risk of causing a mild tempest in a cocktail glass, I would like to register a protest against automatic glass of water. I understand we live in a hydration-conscious world, but I regulate my water intake just fine, and it irritates me when a server plunks a glass full of ice and water and a straw in front of me unasked. And I know Pamela from various events that I've done, and she's very nice, but she told me in no uncertain terms that she hates you.
It's true. Well... She should, because I believe in the automatic glass of water.
All right.
Were you talking about this prior?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You were doing an interview.
Yeah. Okay.
We're talking about what it takes to be a great bartender.
I see.
And I hired a woman just because when she was interviewing and had her first shift, her first customer sat down and she put up a glass of water for them. And that is, as I said to Ray, this is giving people things they need before they know they need them.
Right.
And anticipating customers' needs. And when you get something that you like had just thought about wanting and it shows up in front of you, that's the magic of the hospitality business. That's the magic.
But if you did that for Pamela, you would have gotten it wrong and she would have walked out in a huff.
Well, she will hate me and wherever I'm working.
That's fine. And you don't work anymore, so you're safe.
I work. It's just a different kind of work.
Now, this is from Chris. Are any mixed drinks concocted with Scandinavian herb vodkas? I'm thinking of Brennivín from Iceland.
Brennivín, I don't know, but I told Ray before that one of the great cocktails, brunch cocktails, instead of a Bloody Mary. It's called a Danish Mary, and it's made with aquavit instead of vodka. And they are tasty.
Yeah.
Because aquavit is that, you know, caraway seed, anise.
It's an interesting thing.
Caraway seed.
Yeah.
And it's tasty. And then there are a lot of different versions. There's a Bloody Bull, which is a Bloody Mary made with beef bouillon in it.
Okay.
Of course, a Bloody Maria is made with tequila. You might not have ever heard of a bullshot cocktail, which is vodka.
Check, looking, please. Looking for the 7 second
button. Which
no,
is
I don't know
with,
that one.
well, we got our bloody at least. Go ahead.
Beef bouillon, vodka, Worcestershire, and Tabasco, and so it's basically a soup. A lot of
sodium in that. I mean, that's
drives
the old blood pressure up.
Well, you know, this was for the madmen back in the day.
I see. This is from Christine. Hello, wonderful people. I don't think sugar or other sweeteners belong in rye, bourbon, not in tequila either. Christine is a satisfied member, and she doesn't like it in vodka either, nor Irish whiskey. Okay, she doesn't want sweeteners or sugar of any kind. Where do you stand on that controversial issue? John.
Well, I guess she doesn't like balanced cocktails. No, I don't want to be mean.
Yeah,
mean. Whatever her cocktails are, one of my favorite cocktails has two ingredients, and one of them is ice. You know, just whiskey on the rocks is great, and great whiskey is amazing.
Right.
But if you're talking about a cocktail needs to be balanced, and it needs to be balanced, as I said earlier, a little sweet, a little sour, and taste a little bit like booze.
Yeah, you agreed, Joe.
I heard the question differently, but it seems to me like if you're talking about my forte is Irish whiskey, but if you buy an Irish whiskey and it's flavored with orange or apple, that's just gross, I think.
Well, you know, there are some whiskeys out now, and God knows how many flavors that came from the flavored vodka era. And I don't have any reason to drink any of them.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Before we get back to the phones, John Fisher, Beth writes in, can you tell me how to make the perfect Harvey Wallbanger? I had one once and
easy.
It was delicious.
That's one of the easiest cocktails on the planet. That comes from the era of vodka cocktails that, like, when I was bartending in the 80s. A Harvey Wallbanger was created a lot of, like some cocktails, some other ones created because a liquor salesman had an overstock of Galliano liqueur and wanted to unload it. And so it's just a screwdriver with Galliano in it. So orange juice, vodka, and Galliano.
Tolerable, right?
Yeah. Galliano is an interesting liqueur.
All right, we're going to go to the phones in just a second here. But one last important question, and I'm not a vodka guy. But if you're mixing drinks with vodka, how important is it to get the really good stuff, or can you buy the medium shelf stuff?
Oh, you can buy the bottom shelf stuff if you're making cocktails. The only reason to have great vodka is if you're serving it ice cold neat.
Okay.
If you're making cocktails, the minute you add other ingredients other than ice, other ingredients, it obliterates any of the differences between the vodkas. Now, I'm not going to go out and get the nastiest stuff, but just whatever's on the shelf that's for sale.
Yeah.
If you're making cocktails, that's fine. If you're serving vodka ice cold with caviar, go for the good stuff.
Okay, so the cheap stuff, Senator's Club or Senator's Apprentice, which is even cheaper than that.
I don't know either of those.
Senator's Intern, which, you know what? John is in Hudson. John,
yeah, I read about
on.
Them.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, I just wanted to say, get back to what you were saying before about Manhattan with rye. I've been to several bars in New York City. When they mix it with rye, they call it a Brooklyn.
Ah.
Not a Manhattan.
No, Brooklyn is a different cocktail, and I can't remember what it is.
Really?
Yeah, there is a Brooklyn. There's a cocktail named for every borough.
What's
there's
a Queens? Queens?
There's a Queens.
What is
I
it?
I can't remember what it is. The
Jet
Bronx,
fuel and soot. Delicious.
And a rye cocktail that I love is called the Old Pal, which is kind of a variation on a Manhattan mix with rye. Not sweet vermouth, and it's really good. Lemon juice.
You know that one, John?
I don't. I mean, the thing is...
Called the Old Pal.
The Old Pal. It sounds good. I would drink one.
Okay. Well, John, thanks for the call. Let's go to Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on with John Fisher. And Joe.
Hello. Hello to both of you.
And to all of us.
Hi, Joan. Bringing back some memories. I can't believe I can even remember some of these memories. The first cocktail I think I experienced was in my middle years of college down in New Paltz, and I was offered a Long Island iced tea.
Oh.
I think I remember liking it, but
I'm surprised you remember liking it.
Yeah, no, I think I don't remember much is what I'm saying.
You're right.
It was a long time ago, and it could have been the day after.
I hear you.
It was too strong.
It's got everything in it, right?
It's got five shots of alcohol in it. It's got all the whites plus triple sec and Coca-Cola and sour mix from the hose.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
They cleaned them once in a while.
Tasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember all of my friends laughing a lot when I tried it for some reason.
And we laughed.
Yes. Not so funny the next morning, is it, Joan?
Well, you know, interestingly, they've gotten popular again with Gen Z.
Really?
They're drinking a cocktail called a Dirty Shirley, which is a Shirley Temple with vodka in it.
Oh.
Now, I have family members, much younger family members, who have introduced me to this drink.
I mean, it's not horrible. It can't really be horrible. It would be great if we used real grenadine, though. Real good grenadine syrup is made from pomegranate juice. It's not, you know, high fructose corn syrup and food coloring. And it tastes great. It's got an acidity. It's got flavor. Yeah. Real grenadine is great stuff.
Well, Joan, thanks a lot for that one. By the way, what is this, John?
That is our summer cocktail, which is a gin and tonic with Peychaud's bitters.
Mm.
So Peychaud's bitters were created in New Orleans by Antoine Emile Peychaud, who was a Haitian immigrant and pharmacist. And he invented these bitters while he was, and most bitters originally came from pharmacies because they were medicines. And Peychaud's bitters are also in a classic Sazerac.
Which was one of the first cocktails too, right?
Yes.
And so this, the coloring, this pink color, is just because of the bitters?
Yeah, only.
Amazing. John Fisher's our guest today. It's Cocktail Help Desk, 800-348-2551. Radio's Joe Donahue is here. He has been hard at work doing a couple of interviews in Studio D, and he thought he would wet his whistle, and so here he is. Let's go to Henry in Preston Hollow. Henry, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, great. So listen, back in the days of Saratoga, I was a maitre d' and a captain up there in the track in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
A lot of our customers would come in and they'd be at the track all day drinking, and then they'd go to restaurants at night that we would suggest, and we all worked double shifts. And we developed a bitters drink back in the 80s called a pick-me-up Rico. And, you know, bitters, when you put something bitters in your mouth, that stimulates your gastric juice. Many people think it's a digestivo, but if you're in Rome or in Italy or something like that, they know to eat bitter beforehand to get ready to digest the brontosaurus, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would take bitters, a half a shot of bitters, a full half shot of bitters, you know, Angostura bitters, half a juice of lemon, the juice of a half a lemon. We would mince crystallized ginger, and we would muddle that with a dash of cayenne pepper in the bottom of a large glass, you know, a highball glass. Then we would add a little bit of, you know, club soda, so the fizz would get, you know, bubbles would bubble up. Put some ice in, finish it off with more club soda, and voila, you'd have a pick-me-up Rico, which we would give free to our customers at night to try. Because that beverage, when you drank that, it really did elevate you. You had that, the vitamin C, the heat from the cayenne, and the bitters. And it was a very stimulating beverage. And then they would proceed to get, you know, the rest of the evening.
That sounds great. I'm guessing Rico was not an Uber driver.
Pardon me?
He made a joke. Go ahead, say it again.
No,
it's funnier the second time.
Yeah, stupid joke. No, but that sounds like a genuinely great cocktail.
Yeah.
It really does.
It was a great cocktail. And actually, I am Rico De Palma. I'm the one who created that.
Oh, great.
Well, there you go.
See what he did there?
Yeah.
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 You named it after yourself.
My real name is Henry. And I have one more thing to say.
Right.
Uh-oh. If you put pea soup in a martini glass, it's not pea soup martini.
Henry, I agree wholeheartedly. That is correct. That is, you know what? That people have chocolate martinis. Really?
Come on. Well, if you're going to be making money with it, call it what you got to call it. But I've told my students over the years, it should be a cocktail menu as opposed to being called a martini menu, unless all is on the martini. All is on the martini menu is gin and dry vermouth.
Okay. You know? And yes. So you're also on board with my sort of stick in the mud that if it's got vodka, it's not a martini.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough. 800-348-2551. John Fisher is here. Let's go to Gene in Niskayuna. Gene, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question about Sazerac. I was at a Christmas party several years ago and asked for a Manhattan, which is my favorite drink.
Yeah.
And when it was served to me, it tasted like mildew smells.
Ooh.
Delicious.
And it was horrible. And when I took it back to, I said, there's something wrong with this. I took it back to the bartender. And he, you know, he said, no, here it is. And he shows me, and it's a bottle of Sazerac. He made it with that. Now, is there something about Sazerac?
Well, there is a Sazerac brand bourbon. But there's, if I don't think there's a bottled Sazerac cocktail.
Sazerac's, but you're correct. It was the bottle of the liquor.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's a bourbon. I don't know if they make a rye as well.
I think they do make a rye. I think I had some.
Almost everybody is making a rye now. But yeah, I don't know what could have ruined it. It's, you know, with go ahead.
Similarly, my son, a couple of years prior to that, had bought a bottle of Sazerac at a local liquor store and had given it to me for Christmas. And I had the same thing.
Wow.
So it just tasted like it was mildewed. It was horrible.
I think you should mix it with Moxie, right? That would probably
Moxie.
Yeah, it'd
be there delicious. You go.
Gene, we got to go here, but thank you for the call. Very quickly, the last minute.
Yeah,
John
what
Fisher, what? It's very interesting. It smelled not good.
Singapore Sling.
This is a Singapore Sling?
A real one.
I Look smelled it.
What makes it real? I'm sorry.
It smelled like Moxie to me. And then it tastes not like Moxie.
Benedictine liqueur, Cointreau, cherry herring, gin, Angostura bitters. Those are the basic flavors. But
It's so refreshing, isn't it?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Almost all of them are herbal. You know, gin is herbal. Benedictine is those crazy monks making it for 500 years.
Stimulating my gastric juices.
That's
all right. We've had a couple of emails here, and I'll just put this to you right now, John Fisher.
Yes.
Your favorite non-alcoholic cocktail?
I'll just use either bitters or ginger ale or club soda with some bitters in it. But I actually...
Bitters has alcohol, though.
Not enough to be considered alcohol. That's why you can buy it in a grocery store.
Okay.
It's considered non-potable. But I actually am, if I want something that seems like a cocktail or a real drink.
Yeah.
There are such great non-alcoholic beers out there now. That's what I go for.
Well, John Fisher, this program went very quickly, and thank you for being here. And
my pleasure, always.
I'll mention to my producer that you're not happy with the producer. Joe Donahue, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the lovely invitation and for good to be here for a third of a show.
So, you know what?
It was
There's something to be
third.
Said for that.
Yeah, I got three drinks out of it. It's a good third, I think.
Support comes from Amatulli Sausage Company, serving house-made sausage sandwiches, soups, and more. Weekdays at lunch on Maiden Lane in downtown Albany, AmatulliSausage.com. Cafe Capriccio now booking their classic Tuscany tour for September 26, highlighting the food, wine, and culture of the Tuscany countryside, RuaTours.com for reservations. At the Cheese Traveler, Albany, a purveyor of handcrafted domestic and imported cheeses, charcuterie, pantry items, grilled cheese curated from farms, dairies, and producers locally and around the globe, thecheesetraveler.com. Well, thanks again to John Fisher for being here today, and thank you for listening. Apologies to everybody who didn't get through on this show. Some days we need a couple of hours. If we did this show for a couple of hours, I would need a designated driver. So I think it ends just at the right time. Zach Malloy's our engineer. Thanks, Zach. Peter Hughes screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. We'll see you Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Have a great weekend.